More to think about here on Eric Holder. If he serves out his full 8 years at the Department of Justice, and there have been some indications that he might be fixing to leave DOJ, the place where he's spent most of his career, but if he serves a full eight and carries forth on some of the initiatives he's already announced regarding voting rights and reform of the criminal justice system we were just discussing, how influential will he be seen by history? Well, one element of Holder's legacy may already have been more influential than all of the above, his decision not to aggressively prosecute banks and key players in the financial meltdown of 2008. Peter Schweitzer joins us. He's a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and author of Throw Them All Out. Peter, welcome.
Hey, John. It's good to be on with you.
How systematically do you see a pattern of, avoiding prosecution, not prosecuting, being soft on the financial industry? Do you see this as a pattern and a real element of Holder's tenure at DOJ?
Yes, I do, John. I think the numbers are pretty clear. There have been federal prosecutions increased in the area of civil rights and Medicare fraud. But when it comes to financial fraud prosecutions, we're at a 20-year low. They're down 39% since 2003. And of course, this comes right after the massive mortgage mess and the Wall Street meltdown and all the sorts of financial shenanigans that were going on. So I think the data is pretty clear.
And if one would assume that prosecutions would serve a regulatory function in that banks would be more careful or more inclined to follow the rules subsequent to such prosecutions, we really don't have that sort of regulatory impact, and mistakes are probably going to be made again.
Yes, that's right. I mean, particularly when you talk about criminal behavior, you're talking about intentional fraud that takes place. And what has happened is that the federal government, particularly the DOJ, has taken the position that, well, we may not file criminal charges, but we are going to ding these firms financially. And the numbers seem impressive, but they're really not all that big. For example, Goldman Sachs was fined $550 million for the fraudulent sale of some mortgage-backed securities back in 2007, the largest settlement of its kind in history. $550 million sounds like a lot. John, that's only 4% of what Goldman Sachs just paid in bonuses to its executives in 2007. So clearly, I think if you want to have a deterrent effect on fraudulent behavior, you have to start putting people in jail. That's just simply the way that it functions for the rest of us.
So do you think it's a fundamental inconsistency for Eric Holder to say the criminal justice system is broken because of mandatory minimum sentences on drug crimes, but not to mention the fact that it may be broken because the government isn't prosecuting fraud and white-collar financial crimes?
Yes, I think one of the most troubling aspects of his tenure at the Department of Justice is simply the fact that you have this revolving door problem under this Justice Department. We think of the revolving door as it relates to, Pentagon defense contractors, but it's a very real problem in this Justice Department because Eric Holder and the top executives of Department of Justice, many of them are white-collar criminal defense attorneys. And they came to DOJ from practices where they or their firms represented some of these same financial institutions. Several of them have now gone back and are doing the same kind of work. So in a sense, you're asking these individuals or these individuals are telling us that they are going to deal impartially with large clients of their firms or institutions that they see as potential future clients in the future. I think that's very, very troubling when it comes to something like criminal justice.
Another look at the criminal justice system from the legacy of Eric Holder in the financial sector. Lack of prosecutions after the meltdown of 2008. Peter Schweitzer is a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, author of Throw Them All Out. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, John.